Praise his name. Let's stand together if you would. Amen. Are you happy to be out tonight? Yes. The grace and mercy shows on our lives. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative. Lord, we come to look at this gathering, Father, an opportunity to come and, Lord, to fellowship and draw strength one from another. And it's become more precious to us, Father, as the days go by, Lord, and we know there's, Lord, the world is just in chaos. But, Father, we have a place we can come and, Lord, to feel your presence. Lord, an opportunity to hear you speak to us. Lord, direct our hearts, our lives. Lord, have a revelation granted to us. Lord, it's all your mercy and your grace. Lord, how we can look through our lives and see your hand. And we're so thankful. I appreciate all you've done for me, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would just bless each and every one that's here, Lord, made the effort to come. Pray that you would just bless and give them a special touch tonight, I pray. May your will be done in everything that's said. We ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Do you really love him? Really? Oh, he's wonderful. You may be seated if you'd like. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in our capstone books, page 39. I'll have a new life. What do we look forward to, saints? Amen. It's getting so close. Praise his name. On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life, amen. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, amen. Oh, ain't he wonderful? I'll have a new home of love eternal, with redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, free from every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be. I have a new body, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glorified with him forever, death will be lost in victory. I have a new body, praise the Lord. I have a new life. Amen. Singing, I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, amen. Be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I have a new body, praise the Lord. I have a new life. Oh, what a hallelujah morning when the voice of God shall sound. I have a new body, praise the Lord, have a new life. Oh, graves all bursting, saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I have a new body, amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful what he's prepared for? I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live glory land. I have a new body, praise the Lord, amen. If you're looking forward to it, sing it again. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife, amen. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I have a new life. Amen. All saints, think about what he's prepared for us. Oh, to put a smile on your face and a fire in your heart. Amen. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Get my old man glasses here. Amen. Page 15 in our Only Believe books. One of them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
one of them. Amen. Are you thankful you're one of them?
Amen.
Amen.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made him clean. It is burning now. Amen. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say amen. Oh, I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say amen. Although these people may not learn in me nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now, oh, think about it, his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say, oh, glory. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, one of them. Oh, they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. Now what he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, oh, glory, can you say it? Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, one of them. Oh, come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Amen. Praise his name. Oh, he's wonderful. He's touched your heart. Oh, changed your soul. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Oh, he's wonderful. Praise his mighty name. Page 175. Yeah. Amen. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Amen. Than anything I know. Amen.
In this world I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like religion in the good old-fashioned way. I'm walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I have longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to be sold. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than any. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. All the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than any amen. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. Walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go, oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know.
Amen. Is that the truth, saints? You're not just singing a song. Amen. I'd rather have this Christian life than anything. Amen. Money, fame, nothing compares. Peace, joy. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. Amen. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Hallelujah. Never been a day like this day to me. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been to shine so bright as this day, this glorious day. Amen. Oh, there's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been I see. There's never been a light to shine so bright as this day, this glorious day.
Hallelujah.
Praise His name. How many have something on your heart, a need, request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we... Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we appreciate your love and mercy and grace to us, Lord.
Oh, God.
So thankful, Lord, that one day you reached down your hand to us, Lord. Now, God, picked us up out of sin, Lord. Redeemed our soul, Lord, that we might walk with you in this day and hour in which we live. And great Father, as the hour approaches us, Lord, we pray that you renew our strength in thee, Lord, and draw us closer to you, Lord, that we might be able to stand, Lord, God, against all the storms and the evils of the devil that is going to bring about in this hour in which we live, Lord. Oh, God, help us to trust in you more and more each and every day. We pray tonight for the needs of the people. You see every hand that went up, you know what the need was. We pray, Father, that most of all you meet the spiritual need, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be able, Lord, my God, to meet you in peace, Lord. My God, when it comes that time in our lives, Lord, and pray that you would heal those, Lord, that have need. You've seen the hand was raised for those that are sick and afflicted. We pray, Father, that you reach down and touch the Lord. Make them whole, Lord, we pray. And remember Brother Paul this evening, Lord. You touch his body, Lord. And
yes.
All those that are home that are unable to be here, Lord. Remember Sister Mary, Lord. And any others that are not here that would desire to be here, we pray that you just bless them, Lord. Touch their bodies and strengthen their spiritual needs, Lord. We pray now. You'll bless the word as it comes forth tonight. Anoint thy messenger and anoint thy word that comes forth. Anoint our hearts to receive your word, Lord.
Yes.
Speak to those, Lord, that have need tonight, Lord, of salvation.
Yes. may be seated.
Amen. Sing another special song.
Amen. Do you have something, Karen? Yes, if you go.
We all know we're living in the last days. We can see the perilous times we're in. Everywhere there's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. People are running scared and living in sin.
Only believes, ask her brother to come.
Oh. precious Lord, it's already been good to be here.
Yes.
And we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace that you bestowed upon us. For the desire to come, Lord, and to partake of your precious word. And Lord, we just humbly ask your blessings upon your word this night.
Yes.
The Lord, these things, as we would rehearse and read them, the Lord, it would maybe stir a spark in our hearts.
Yes.
And Lord, stir us to press on, Lord, and to continue to reach for those higher heights in you.
Yes.
And Lord, we just ask this all to your glory and to your honor, and prepare our hearts for the hearing of thy word, we ask. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. So thankful that I serve a living God.
Amen.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew, the third chapter. Amen. Just a little exhortation tonight. It may seem very elementary, but just praying it'll stir our hearts. And each one of us will find a little nugget to chew on.
Yes.
Amen. Truly believe we're living in the last few moments of time, seeing what God is doing. And I want to make sure that I'm right in the harness. Amen.
Amen.
But amen, here in Matthew, the third chapter, and we'll start here at the first verse. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the regions around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. I want to continue to read on here, but I want to just call our attention back before I continue on, as the scriptures before this time had come. The prophet Isaiah had already prophesied of this day. The prophet Malachi had already prophesied that this day would come. And then here was the fulfillment of those prophecies going forth.
Yes.
And here stood John, come out of the wilderness, a man unknown to people, a man that was so abnormal and so against everything of that day that just didn't fit the mold, so to speak.
Yes.
But he came with a message and sent from God. Mm-hmm. And I want us to catch this here a little bit, as I just will continue to read down. We'll just pick back up there at the fourth verse. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around about Jordan, were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth their fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Yes.
And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And all my hair became the word being made manifest.
Yes.
The word that was going forth, that the word had went forth, I'll send a runner before
yes.
my day.
Amen.
And he'll prepare the way for me. And oh my, John come preaching his message. And I want you to think of that, how he was so against as the scribes and the Sadducees come out to hear him. And to think about how religious they were and how they had the law. And they knew all this, but here God sent a man down amongst them that was different from what they were used to.
Amen.
Someone totally different, and come out of there screaming and looking like a wild man. And oh, could we imagine? Just think of it today. This happened in a time when people lived in a certain society at that time. And look at the abnormality of God as he sent this man down among them. And we can sit here today because now we've had the opportunity to read these things and to hear these things and say, what a mighty man John was. But what if we had lived back in that day and seen God begin to make this manifestation, the message that was coming forth, yes, to repent and to be baptized. There's one coming. Yes. Oh, I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And to think of this as this message is going out, but there was a people there that some stood back and crossed their arms and scoffed and mocked and didn't really want to listen. And it was like, boy, this man's a little bit fanatic. But then there was a people there that down inside of them, there was something churning. As they heard those words, there was something that drawed them to rush into that water to be baptized. There was something working. The Holy Spirit was already moving. God had sent forth his word, and people were compelled to move forward. Yes. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This was before. It couldn't come. But just want you to think of how God could move on people's hearts and stir them by hearing the word go forth that God had sent, yes, and how it was drawing them. But as we let's turn here and just continue. Let's go over to Matthew, the 11th chapter. And listen what Jesus said. As John preaching, realizing Jesus came on the scene and he was baptized. But I want you to look at what the emphasis Jesus put here and start at the 11th chapter of Matthew in the first verse. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do see and hear. And John came preaching what was going to happen and what that Messiah was going to do. And in a moment of John here being in the place that he was and realizing, he tried to assure his heart, go back and ask him. So he sends him, and Jesus says, but go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Now they went back to give John that message, and I'm sure John's heart leaped with joy within him. When he could then recall what God had told him, the message he had preached, and to know that it was being manifested, it was coming to pass exactly as God had laid it in his heart to bring it. And to see the results of it was now manifested. And as we go on here, Jesus speaking, and he said, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he is the least in the kingdom of heaven, notwithstanding that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. Jesus putting forth the emphasis and declaring, amen, this was him that was to come. Amen. And now he was declaring and showing forth that now he was here. And as Jesus' life from this point forth went forth, how the manifestation of his life was so written out into these scriptures that it was so vindicated that he was the Messiah that was to come. That it could not be denied throughout all of the teachings. If you go through, and just to kind of get off, let's read this here. I was kind of get ahead of myself, maybe go a little bit different way. But here John came and was identified. And Jesus backing up his testimony. And proving forth, this is him, the that was to come. And then Jesus' ministry began, and we realized John said he had to decrease so he could increase. And then Brother Branham speaking, and God identified himself by his characteristics. Preached March 20th, 1964, paragraph 171. He said, notice Jesus, watch this. His characteristics identified his promised word true. He certainly did. He was identified by this characteristic that Moses said he would be. And many of them, like today, they want to see some great leader. Oh, this doctor, Ph. so-and-so. He's out of Harvard University. He's out of some great big somewhere like that. That's no identification of God. No, no, not a thing about it. Amen. The word is what identifies God.
Yes,
Jesus was not a scholar. Neither was he a priest. Neither was he a rabbi to the world. He was a renegade to the world. Yes. And think of Jesus coming on the scene, God's chosen place to dwell and to house himself and the sacrifice made to be able to make that way to come to be able to become kindred to redeem us back. And to think about all of the word that was being manifested and fulfilled at this point, and how the world looked on John as being, oh, a wild man, a fanatic, Brother Branham said. Look at how they looked at Jesus, and how they, so contrary, he didn't come from their schools, he didn't go to their teaching places of being taught, he was just a son of a carpenter in their eyes. Looked like a plain, ordinary man placed down there. But oh, at 12 years old, standing in the temple, when he opened up his mouth and began to speak, the wisdom astounded the teachers of that day. Yeah. I want you to think about the simplicity of God and how God has always worked as we see it take place. But also, as he goes on here, he says, but Jesus was not, he was a renegade to the world, but God was confirming his word through him, which made him Emmanuel. That was his identification. And now here he is, Jesus meeting this exactly. What God in sundry times said he would do through Moses, what he would do. Now watch, when he met Peter, as we dramatized the other night, when he met Peter and told Peter what his name was, this sign identified his messiah claims to Peter. For the word had said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet. And Peter come up, which was Simon then, come up where he was at, and Jesus looked at him and said, your name is Simon, and you're the son of Jonas. That identified the character of Christ to be the word that Moses promised. And Peter recognized that sign, identified Jesus as the Messiah. God was in Christ, the anointing for the last days to Nathanael. Remember, he told Simon his name. And watch to Nathanael, he told him what he had done. You were under the tree when I saw you. And that identified him, Messiah.
Yes.
He said, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. He was identified by the characteristics of the promised word that he was to be the Messiah. The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet. The little woman at the well, when he told her what she was, that identified him as this promised Messiah. His character, his characteristics was the word being identified. Was his characteristics showing that the word was God. So that was God being identified in Christ. Now watch it. Note, to Peter, he was identified to Peter by calling his name. He was identified to Nathanael by telling him what he'd done. He was identified by the woman by telling what she was and what who he or who he was and what he done and what she was. He identified his messiah, signic characteristics, and that was to be the characteristics of the Messiah. Look at the little woman, say something, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. We haven't had a prophet for hundreds of years. We've had plenty of church, plenty of fusses and denominational difference. But we haven't had a prophet for hundreds of years, and we know that when the Messiah cometh, that is what he will identify him. He said, I am he that speaks to you.
Amen.
And I want you to think about that little woman and the condition she was in, but having representation of predestination, something down on the inside of her heart had already sparked when this conversation began.
Amen.
And but then to hear those words that she, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. He's already told her what she'd done and about her husband's. And then she could surely feel that in her heart, and to hear him say, I am he.
Amen.
What a, can you only imagine what she felt down in her heart, that little burst of combustion, to realize the with a representation and that spark of revelation to realize what had just happened. I want you to keep it in mind. He said, I am he that speaks to you, nothing uncertain about it. He said, I am he. That's identified him. And the woman with the blood issue identified him, the word. Wow, how? By what he done with her face touched him. He turned around and said, who touched me? He knew nothing. He knew something happened. that identified Jesus as a Messiah. She believed in it. She said, if I can touch his garment, I'll be made well. So as soon as she touched, he turned, and now who touched me? And they all denied it, but his Messiah characteristic. Amen. I hope you see that, congregation. Listen, as we're closing, there she touched him. There was hundreds maybe trying to touch him. Peter even rebuked him and said, well, all of them is touching you. He said, yes, but somebody touched me different. That's different. That faith touch, see? Somebody touched me. It was a different touch. I got weak. Strength went out of me. Virtue has gone from me. And now there he stands. Now, even his own disciples saying, in other words, you sound like you were some delinquent person. Why, people, everybody is touching you. But watch his identification now. He turned around, looked through the crowd, and he singled her right out. She couldn't hide herself any longer. He told her of her condition, of her faith had made her well. And she knowed by this that Hebrews 4:12, the word discerns the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. His characteristics identified him to be the word of God made flesh dwelling among us. So I want you to think about how thoroughly identified he was. And how it, when John came preaching a message, Jesus took the time to reference him and to say, this is him that was to come. And how today we stand here with God's precious word before us, listening to these things again, and having had a prophet come. Yes. And we see these things. I wonder, Brother Branham, speaking of John, referenced this in God, and what went ye out to see. And just to kind of bounce back and forth, just kind of stay with me. Don't mean to make it sound confusing. But now Brother Branham was speaking of John. And just to think of John and his time right before Jesus came on the scene. But God, I want you to realize and to keep that in mind. God always makes sure to identify and to bear forth without a doubt that his prophets were sent by him. Go back into the Old Testament and look at every one of them down through time. When God sent a man down, there was no doubt God had sent him to do the job that he come to do. Because God went forth vindicating the message that followed that went with the prophet. Here he's speaking to John, Brother Branham speaking. He says, John in his day by the world was considered a wild man. He was half naked, piece of sheepskin wrapped around him, woolly beard over his face. His hair probably stood out from the side. And to just the world, the people out in the world, he was a wild man. We call him crazy. Just an old hermit that lived out in the wilderness. And to the church, being that he preached, he was a fanatic. The church thought that man is absolutely, is strictly a religious crank. If he had been today, he would have been no less thought of today than he was then, because the world doesn't change. The people comes along and new generations rise up, but the spirit that governs the world is just what it was then and will be as long as there is a world. And how God sent us a prophet to enlighten us to that there's only two powers and there's only two spirits. And how that God takes his man but never his spirit. And Satan takes his man but never his spirit stays. And to think that how it's governing, each one is identified by their characteristics. And seeing it bear out, by their fruit you shall know them. And we see all of this go forth. So God predestinated a people so for each age. And each place in time, he gave them the equipment that was needed to recognize when he began to speak or send forth a messenger for each age. There was something that was just couldn't help them. People that's predestinated for that age just can't help themselves. And these people that were listening to John couldn't help themselves. There was something that was drawing them, even though there was many standing around at that time criticizing and running John down. And maybe, oh, this isn't for to us. This man's way off. Don't listen to him. Don't hear him. I'm sure a lot of the scribes and Pharisees were just in disbelief at what they were hearing at that time. But he says, to the church, being that he preached, he was a fanatic. The church thought the man is absolutely, let's see, the people, we'll drop down, but 39. But those who knew John, those who believed him, and those who went out to see, they went out to see something that was real. Mm-hmm. There it divides, today as it was then, into three different classes. The world, the church, and the real true believer. Yes. And that's the way the world stands today. The world, the unbeliever, and the church, the lukewarm member, and then the real true believer. Some people go out into churches to find fault with that church. And some people go out to be a social standing or what they think a better class or a get-together. And others go out to find peace, go to find God in something real. That's the one that gets the benefit of the meeting. And I've always said that the gospel produces three types of people: the unbeliever, the make-believer, and believer. It's always been that way. It just depends on what you go for and the attitude that you have. So, and today is no different, saints. We, by God's grace, we are living in an age where God sent a prophet in this last age. Now, William Branham came on the scene, and as we sit here, many of us know all about him. We've read all about him. We've heard all about him. But God made sure to vindicate that little man that came. A human being like you and I, no different. A man that born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But God predestinated him to be a prophet and sent him here. 1933, standing down there on the river, and the Lord appeared and told him he would forerun that second coming. He would be that person that Malachi 4 talked about, that was mentioned in the book of Luke. And we heard these things, and many have. And we sit here today as a people that's heard all of those things. And we can see it in so much that God would have a man write a little book called A Man Sent from God. And put things together to prove for those that weren't there, many pictures and many things. And look at how many testimonies have been placed into written pages. But as he went forth, as Brother Branham began to go forth preaching and teaching, and the mighty signs and the wonders were following him, and God working mightily to prove and to vindicate that he was his prophet. And the same as John was down there, and Jesus was backed him up at the end and said, "This is him." I want you to think of the picture that was taken in this age that God was identifying that was his prophet. Showing forth these great signs and wonders. Now we sit here today as a people that claim to believe those things, that he was a prophet. And the same as when Jesus came, many came seeing the manifestation of his life and could agree that he was a prophet. They agreed that he was a good teacher. Think of the young man that came to him and said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus telling him, this young man realizing and seeing what Jesus had. And Jesus told him what to do. But he went away grieved because he just didn't want to go that far. He didn't have the desire to truly listen. And then when Jesus began to speak to him and the word began to come forth, and he said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be partakers with me." And from that time on, the scripture says, many walked no more with him. As they began to, things he spoke, things that was hard to be understood, so to speak. Things that caused them to stumble and they couldn't quite grasp it. They just didn't wait for the revelation of it to come. And today we said here, God has sent us a prophet, vindicated the word to you, to me, and to millions all over this world. They know that God sent a prophet in this age. But why does God send a prophet? Why does God send a man forth with a message? The signs and the wonders came to catch a people's attention, to point out and to think, and to look at when you go back and look at all that God done through his ministry to grab the attention of a people, to say, "This is my prophet. This is the word of the Lord." And Brother Branham many times declaring that this was not his message, but it was God's message. It was God's word, and he was coming to prepare the hearts of a little bride. But yet so many people today, just like they did when Jesus was here, just like they did when John came with his message, they agree that he was a prophet. They agree that the signs and wonders were mighty and wonderful. But when the word begins to be spoken, it begins to cause them to draw back a little bit. "That's too hard. That's not necessary. That's fanaticism. I can't do that. I can't go that far." And they begin to think that, well, that was just a man's idea over there. And in this day and age, it's so easy to, everybody is so smart in being theologians and scholars that, oh, they can divide what was the right moment to speak and what he shouldn't have said and when he should have said it and the grammar wasn't correct and all these things that tears it down. But just like it was in the days of John the Baptist when he came with a message, there was a predestinated few that was there to receive that message and to obey. And when Jesus' words went forth, there was those that was waiting in line, standing there with him and stayed true till the end, until they went up into that upper room at his command and were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then to see Paul come on the scene and bring his mighty message, And to see the ones that maybe turned their back and walked away from him and said, oh, this isn't right. This can't be. But look where we're standing today. We have the word vindicated. We have this Bible to go back through and look at all of those examples. We can go back and read for ourselves and see God vindicated and manifested through all of those men of old. And then to stand here today and see that God truly sent and vindicated a prophet in our day, in this last age. And then the message went forth and to realize that when a prophet begins to speak, it's not his words that's being spoken, but God is using him as a mouthpiece to send a message to his people. And how we've been so fortunate to have that revealed to us and to be expounded on and delivered to us. But do we truly see that when we hear the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed? And God sent a message like that to us. Does it truly spark my heart? Oh, does it cause something down inside, just like when John the Baptist first comes saying, repent and be baptized to those people that day. There was something inside of them that took them right down into that water. Today, when that message goes forth, is there something down inside of us that's like a combustion? That's just, oh, it just begins to stir. Lord, that's a place I see. I've got to want that in my life. As we hear the message, perfect faith, and it goes out as a challenge. And Brother Branham said that's the identification of a scripture Christian. Do we see all of this gelling together, and does it cause something down inside of us that I want to be just exactly what that message says? And with that comes the desire that every scripture and quote that's written in this Bible is burning down in our hearts to such a point we don't want one thing out of line. I don't want one time from my life we can go back and see that Jesus is, Brother Branham, when he was here, he said his sinless nature so expressed. Yes. Oh, it was so perfect. It was so precise. Glory. That it could not be doubted. And Jesus could even stand and say, search the scriptures. And anything can condemn me of sin. Look back and see if I haven't fulfilled all that was been prophesied and said, spoken of me. And oh, how that we see the word that's been spoken to that little bride, that predestinated few that would be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have a soul change, and their body would come under subjection, obedience to God's word. And that he would get the preeminence and the full leadership of their heart and in their life, and then they would be a representation of him in his last few moments of time. Do we hear those words and it truly strikes our hearts with such a reality that, Lord, that's going to be somebody, and may that challenge be burning in my heart? Yes. Or have we heard it so long and we've heard it preached and it's just become as, oh, it just doesn't stir in me anymore. We've heard these things and heard these things. We've let people explain it away. We've let people talk about it this way. And we've heard it over this. Well, he meant this and he meant that. But, oh, is there something burning in our hearts that says, just give me the way God presented it to us and let it do the works in our hearts and the lives that God intended for it to do? Oh, do we take it to heart? And then we also realize that God sent pastors, teachers, and evangelists, apostles, and prophets for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then do we take that when God sends a pastor along, or an evangelist, or a prophet, or an apostle that's bringing the exact word, renewing our mind to those things that have been spoken? Does it stir in our hearts that, Lord, that's still the word of the Lord? Or does I let Satan put it in my, that's just the word of the pastor. It's just his way of thinking about it. Or do I truly weigh it into the scriptures of God's precious word and say, Lord, let me be exactly what's written there? But oh my, we're living in a time and an age, saints, when God is here to prove all of his words. Just as the same as he's proved it through all of these things. And I want you to stop and consider that we're living in that day. We have been a people that have had a prophet sent to you and to me. We didn't see him when he was here on this earth. But we've been recipients of the message that God sent forth. The same as many didn't get to see Jesus when he was here. Maybe they was under Peter's message. Maybe they heard Paul's message and believed, and their lives vindicated forth what taken place. And here we stand today. Are we truly going to be those representations for Jesus Christ? Those manic him the same yesterday, today, and forever in our lives. Oh, saints, there's many people that want to say they want the signs, they want the wonders, they want the mighty miracles, but they don't want the word to have preeminence in their life. They don't want him to have the oversight. They don't want him to have the leadership. They don't want to live their lives in a complete surrender to Jesus Christ. But God's predestinated someone. And I pray that it's burning in your heart as it's burning in mine. Lord, let me be one of them in this last few moments of time that you will surrender fully to you, Lord, and let you take me completely into your control, that every action would declare Jesus Christ to this people and to this nation. But oh, do we feel that in our hearts, or do we miss, or are we losing sight of what God has sent us in this day? That he sent us a message. He sent us direct from God. And yes, the preaching goes on. The teaching goes on. That's God's provided way. But do we still see that it's a fresh manna? It's fresh from God. And if it's not living, it's because I need a greater revelation and a greater understanding from God. And oh, may that be the cry in our hearts. Lord, let it be me. Stir my heart, Lord. Don't let me be one that just thinks it's a fanatic. Don't let me be one that just don't think it's necessary. But let me keep my eye on the goal, Lord, and see what you've promised and to see what you said you would do through a people in this last age, and let me be one of them. Oh, my, it was wonderful to see God work in the prophet. It was wonderful to see all God done. And there's been mighty ministers up after the prophet that's continued to uphold that truth and to preach it and to minister it. But what about you and I as laity? It's our turn not to just hear it preached, but to see it lived out through us automatically and vindicated. A manifestation that Jesus Christ keeps all of his word. And all to see it vindicated in you and me. Amen. To its fullness. Not just be happy with a little bit, but Lord, I want all you've got for me. And let it be seen and known that it's not me that lives, but it's you that's living in me. Oh, what a testimony. Amen. I want to know and to be able to see and line up in that precious word every day. Yes. And realize that, Lord, I'm not discarding any of the word. I'm not discarding any of it as not being important. But, Lord, I want to uphold every word as being of utmost importance. And to see every word live through me. That my speech, my talking, my singing, everything, every action be declared Jesus Christ. Oh, may it burn in our hearts, saints. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Hallelujah. I pray it just stirs your heart. I know it may. Maybe I didn't bring it out in a good enough way. I don't know. But you know, just look at what God has done all down through. Those things were written for our admonition and been placed here for us. And may we truly see that it's our turn. If time would carry on, there would be scriptures written. Would your name be in there as one? You know, the scripture was written of Stephen as they stoned him, his face shone. And think of all the different ones that are written in there. If time would go on, could they write about you that you lived for the Lord? Maybe, oh, she was a wife in total subjection to her husband, and her life was spotless as she fulfilled that word to the T. As a husband, oh, he fulfilled that word to the T. He couldn't find no spot or blemish in it. As a daughter or a son, the word's there. It can't find a blemish in it. All these little things, the things, but our entire life, every action has to declare him. Oh, may it burn in our hearts, saints. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. And let's just sing that little chorus. I want to live the way he wants me to live. Amen. We ask our brother to come. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never
Saints, I trust that we will be able to be the people
that regardless of times we're in, I know there's a lot of troubles throughout the land. There's all kind of turmoil and destruction and hatred and envy and strife and sicknesses and all kinds of problems. But maybe through all that, we would be the ones that would be able to stand there and go through all that and still have a press in our hearts to press on to do everything God wants us to do in our life, everything, and not miss anything. May that burn in our hearts. Be constantly praying, Lord, don't let me miss this. Don't let me miss the revelation of this, the understanding of that, Lord. Help me, Lord. May we be constantly praying and crying out to God. You can do all kind of things too much, but you can never pray too much. Like Brother Branham said, you see, you never can pray too much. So may we be encouraged to pray more and talk to the Lord. Talk to our wonderful Savior. We want to be so appreciative of what he's done for us. You know, I was thinking today of that little song, God is so good. He's so good to me. Now, I was just thinking about, you know, not alone give me breath to breathe. He give me life. He give me desire to serve him. He give me the word of this day. Give me revelation of the word. He's just given us so very much. You know, I know sometimes people, you know, find such an easy thing in their life of complaining. But, my, y'all just start remembering what he's done for you. Amen. Remember the good things. You know, you we just so easily just sit down at the table and begin to eat food. Are you really appreciative of it? There are so many people, friends, that doesn't have food to eat. I mean, well, I'd be so appreciative. You know, it's, and even close by us, there's people that don't have very much food. I'm serious. And yet, if he's blessed you with that, he's blessed you with wonderful clothes to wear. He's blessed you with an automobile to drive, to get back and forth. But above all, he's blessed us, as I said, with that precious desire. Blessed us with eternal life. Oh, how we ought to love him, appreciate him. Let's sing it, of course, before you go. It's been on my heart this afternoon. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Oh, I love him so. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious word that you've renewed our hearts and minds back to. And Lord, how it just stirs in our heart. As we've said before, it's such a blessing, Lord, to be seeing yourself identified with that and see, Lord, these experiences and what's taking place in our hearts and our lives and seeing you dealing with our hearts and seeing that little drawing on the inside to draw us closer to you. These are all so many wonderful blessings you give to us, Lord. We just pray that you'll help us not to miss anything, knowing we need revelation, Lord, above everything else in this life. Just asking, Lord, you continue to open our understanding. Give us a greater revelation of the Word of God that we could please you, Lord. For without faith, it is impossible to please you. And Father, we want to please you. You've placed it in our hearts to serve you and obey you and love you and adore you and just glorify your name, and we thank you so very much for that. So we ask once more that you just help us through, Lord, each day as we travel now. And Father, we ask that you just watch over us, keep us safe on the highways as we travel back to our homes, and bring us back, Lord, again the next time if you should tarry. And if
be your will, Lord. May we gather around your precious word once more. And Father, we could find a closer walk with you. We ask again in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So just keep that little song in your heart. God is so good. Isn't he good to you? And he sure is. May God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Don't forget now, just keep in mind, next Thursday, Brother George Smith will be coming and prepare for whatever he's going to eat after service or whatever.